This is Perth Tonight with Chris Ilsley on 882 6PR. The voice of Perth.
Well, here we are back at this time of the week again when we kind of feel relaxed and decide to go on a trip. And we've dragged him into the studio. Of course, yep. I do refer to our rather large travel bug, Grumpy.
Yes, good evening, Chris.
By the way, nice to have you in Perth for a change.
Yeah, thanks for... It's not normal, is it?
No.
But I'm here for a couple of weeks now, I think. I'll check my diary. I'm not sure for sure. But if you reckon I do a bit of travelling, I've got some guests in, if you've noticed.
Yes.
I've got Tony Giles, who's sitting next to me, and I've got Tatiana. Now, Tatiana's a little bit shy, so she won't be talking.
Yeah.
But I've got Tony in because Tony has been to 116 countries. He's been all over the world. He's written three travel books. He's got another travel book that's just about to be released. Is that right, Tony?
Yeah, it's just come out, actually.
Just come out, so we'll talk about that. And the amazing thing about Tony's travels is he's so independent, it's amazing. But you may have noticed that Tony and Tatiana are both blind.
And it's just an
amazing story.
I'm also severely deaf.
Severely deaf as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that, does that mean that you ignore us if you don't like any of the questions that we ask?
What questions?
So I thought I'd bring in Tony to talk about it because, Tony, it's funny how it got on to Tony. I didn't know he was in Perth, but a friend of mine who lives in Senegal, who Tony has stayed with, said, oh, Tony's bringing out, you've got to interview him. And next thing I know, I get an email from Tony, saying, oh, I'm in Australia, I'm in Perth. I said, that's where I am. So I've met him literally 20 minutes ago. And
oh, is that right?
Yeah. He didn't recognise me when I spoke to him, which is a...
What was it like being accosted by a stranger? He said, hey, listen, do you want to come and have a chat with me on the radio?
That's all right.
Now, Tony, what has given you the travel bug? Why have you just got this lust for travelling? Because you do a fair bit of it, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I get about a bit. Natural progression, really. I was sent to a school 30 kilometres away from my home when I was 5 or 6, a school for disabled children. And then at the age of 10, I was sent further away. Well, not sent, really, but I had to go to a boarding school because I'd stopped learning through conventional means. I'm light sensitive, so I could see shapes and shadows as a child. My eye condition has never changed, but... And my sensitivity lessened as I got older, print got smaller. And by the age of 8, I stopped reading and writing, so I needed to go to another school. My mum knew I was reasonably intelligent, but I needed to learn in case something happened to them. I needed to be educated. So I went up there, and my dad also was in the Merchant Navy at the end of the Second World War, and he told me stories of... traveling across Australia by train, east coast to west, took him 7 days, and sailing up the St. Lawrence River in Canada. I thought, that sounds good. So I went to a boarding school when I was 11, and I learned mobility to use a long cane to get around, and I learned to catch trains and buses, eventually cross roads. And my initial thought is I want to go home and see my family as much as possible. And then more opportunities opened up. I got the chance to go to Boston in the States with the school when I was 16. This is different. People come out and talk to you, and payments are big. Everything was big and brash, and I want more of that. So that's just started from there, really, and then snowballed.
You mentioned you've been to, something like 116 different countries, which means you've been to a lot of countries that don't speak English. Bearing in mind you're blind, how is it that you know, for example, which train you need to take and that kind of thing when announcements are often made in different languages?
You just ask people. That's the key to travelling. It doesn't really matter if you're blind or not, or if you're from a country who doesn't speak that language or not. You can always find people who will speak a little bit of your language and their language, and you just keep communicating. You ask people. For instance, I went to Armenia, and I don't speak any Russian, and... very, very little English, very few backpackers that you can network with. So I would ask the staff in the hostel to write down the place I wanted to go in Russian and Armenian. I'd go out on the street and show it to someone, and they'd take me to a bus, and they'd speak to someone else, and then eventually I'd get to where I'm going. But the first time this happened, they'd written the bus number wrong down, so I wanted the 28, and I ended up on the 22.
Oh.
You just keep asking people, and if they don't know any English, you'll find someone who does know a little bit, and that's how you go. And I try and learn at least to say thank you, hello, water, toilet. in every language I go to. I've not learned Australian yet.
But no, this is a difficult one to learn, is Australian. But how do you determine? Do you just say, I want to go to that place? How do you find? So, for instance, you've done all of all of South America. You've done every country in South America. And if you want to talk about places with language problems over there, you've
got Spanish, Portuguese,
that's it.
Indigenous languages.
And indigenous. So how do you decide that I want to go there, and how do you decide what you want to visit? Is it like, do you say, well, if I'm in Rio, I've just got to go and see the Christ Redeemer, etc.?
I want to do everything a sighted person would do, apart from look at paintings.
Trust me, not many sighted people want to look at paintings either.
I'm no really different to someone who's sighted in the fact in my intelligence and the way I've learnt about the world. I said I've done it through my fingers and smell, but I've done it through listening. So, you know, I've read about history through Braille or audio books. So I want to go and visit these places that everyone else goes to, and then find out what they look like, what they feel like through my senses and through people describing them to me.
If we took you to somewhere that you'd been in the past that you really enjoyed, but we didn't tell you where you were going, and you stepped out into the street for the first time in that place after you returned, would you know it by smell?
Not immediately. It might depend. Someone like New Orleans, I might, after half an hour, by the smell or the narrowness of the street. Someone like New York, probably. If you would have thrown me onto the subway in New York, I would probably work out we were in New York within... Yeah, some places more difficult. I also do my research. When I first started travelling when I was young, we didn't have the internet access like we do today, or iPhones. So I knew I wanted to go to Australia and New Zealand. Now, I knew about Australia through listening to cricket from a young age. So I knew where the cities were. I knew where the cricket grounds were. I'd heard of Alice Springs from the film and reading books. I didn't know what was in between, really. And I didn't know really what was in each city to visit. So Mum got Lonely Planet guidebooks, and we sort of read the basics, and I remembered. And then we managed to book a hostel somehow. And then I went to Australia. And when you travel as a blind person in the UK, you can get assistance on the trains. So they'll put you on a point A, and they'll meet you usually at point B. And then they'll tell you how to get a bus to the airport. And then when you book a plane, as a disabled person, you ask for assistance. You get to the check-in desk. The assistance takes you all the way through the airport security, etc., onto the plane. Someone meets you at the other end. And then once you get to the country you're going to, you've either researched or you can either ask people how to get from the airport to your hostel or hotel, and then you can take a public transport. Or if it's difficult, you can jump in a cab. And once you've got to your hostel, you can then ask the questions, right, what can I see? How can I get to these places? And meet other backpackers. Again, it's networking. It's talking to other backpackers. Right, I want to go to, the Sydney Bridge. You going there? Or where are you going today? And you meet people and say, I've just been to this place. And that's how I did it when I first started. And then later on now, because my memory is not as good and I'm more interested in what I want to see, what I want to experience, I do research on the computer. I use a speech software, a screen reading software on the computer and the laptop. I can use the internet. I type in Perth, right, where we want to go in Perth. We want to go and see Penguin Island, or we want to go and see the Pinnacles. And then, we find out, right, I either ask the staff in the hostel, or if I'm not on the online, how can we get to the Pinnacles? And that's how we do it.
Can I ask, if you go to, say a place like you and I went together to, say, the Grand Canyon. Now, when I went there, I could say, wow, this is incredibly wide, and it's so deep, and the colour of the rocks are fantastic, and I can see that little slither of Colorado River and one mile below us. That's my perception of it. How do you perceive something
that? My first impression of the Grand Canyon was it's just a wide, vast, open space and quietness, stillness on top of the rim. When I first got there, everyone else was blindfolded and taken out, and they took the blindfold. Wow, this looks amazing. And then I just sort of stood there, and I could feel the fresh wind on my face, and I could just sort of sense the energy. It was open space, but I didn't really get any sense of its scale or how impressive it was. It wasn't particularly, I didn't get it until I walked into the Grand Canyon. And then you feel the walls and the different textures of the rocks and the roots, and then it felt like a canyon, and it felt like this is why people go there.
Interesting listening to you talk, because I've noticed on several occasions you've used the word, I'd like to see this, and I really wanted to go and see this. And interestingly, we have a semi-regular talkback caller named Keith, who, like yourself, is also blind. And often he says the same thing. And I must say, I'm always very, very intrigued as to why that would be the case, because when you talk about see, I kind of imagine it's what you visualise in your own mind.
Yeah, but then why wouldn't you use the word see? I mean, it's the language we all use. Mm. It's just normal. It's just everyday language.
I suppose what it is it's the different perceptions that we have. It was like Grumpy asking you, well, how did you perceive the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
And I guess in a way it's because we don't kind of know how you perceive things, and I suppose vice versa, you don't know how we perceive things.
Exactly, not completely.
And so when we start to ask those questions, they probably do come, don't they, Grumpy, to a certain extent from a point of ignorance, but also from a position of saying, well, okay, this is how we can learn.
Yeah, it's just words, really, and it's eye of mind. I could say, oh, I'm listening to TV, I'm listening to movies, but it's not the language we speak, you know. Mm. I mean, when I was writing my books, I thought, do I put... I listen to a movie or two. I put the normal English language that we all use it, you know.
The way people
now, get what you mean.
Talking about your books, you've got three books.
I've got two books published. Two books. The first book's called Seeing the World My Way. It's basically my autobiography of why a blind person would want to go and see the world, quote unquote.
And the second one is about America?
The second one's about South America, North America, Cuba, Mexico, but ostensibly Brazil, Argentina, and then the US and Canada. And that's called Seeing the Americas My Way. And that came out last week as an ebook.
Right. And so how do people get your books?
So they can go onto my website, tonythetraveller.com, and find information. And I can also go onto the usual ebook websites.
Amazon, etc. to...
Yeah, and they put in my name, Tony Giles, G-I-L-E-S, or they put in the titles, and you should find them.
Magnificent stuff.
So there you go. I've now known him more than 20 minutes. A very impressive young man.
Indeed.
As is Tatiana. She's not
a very impressive young man, but she's a very impressive young lady.
But I just thought, well, we've got to speak to Tony tonight on the show, because I was blown away by his story.
Absolutely,
impressive. Great to get out and just go and do something. You're a true individual, Tony, and that's what I really like about
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So we met 8 years ago through the internet. A Greek journalist did an article about me, and she found my website and liked my name, so she emailed me. And then I went to Greece a year later. We met up, and so we've been together nearly 7 years, and we travelled to about 26 countries together around Europe. We've been to the States twice, and now we're here in Oz. So
Tony and Tatiana, welcome to West Australia, and thank you very much for dropping in.
Thank you for having us.
And you, Mr. Grumpy, we'll have a chat to you next week.
Will do.